Monday. It is October the 10th, and it is the aftermath of NFL week. Was it five? Week five. Not done yet. We still got one game to go tonight, but man, yesterday was quite an experience for some teams in the NFL. What's going on, Tri-Cities? What's going on, Hopewell, Verina, Accomack, Pocomoke, Virginia Beach, Hampton, Newport News, Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesburg, Charlottesville, excuse me. I said Charlottesburg. We're live right here on the Stolen Sports, 5 Sports, 1340 AM. This is the best and the worst of the weekend show, and we got a lot we got to get into. Hurricane Matthew did some devastation over the weekend. It postponed some of the MLB playoff games. It affected a lot of the college games, and it just caused a lot of devastation outside of sports as well. So, like I said on Friday, man, we send our prayers to the people of Haiti, to the people of the Dominican Republic, to the people of the Bahamas, Florida, Cuba. Nobody mentioned Cuba. Don't know if you saw it on Friday, but very interesting, something historically relevant, sports historically relevant. Friday, we had an international friendly with the soccer team. Of course, when we talk about friendly, we talk about soccer. We had an international friendly with Cuba in Havana for the first time in I don't know how long it's been, if it's ever happened. And one thing stood out to me right away with what Cuba had going on. It wasn't what you used to seeing from a soccer stadium. It almost looked like they were at a high school, an upgraded high school field. And I didn't get to watch the entire game because, of course, we had our show on Friday night. But it was very interesting to see. I had to try to get a glimpse of it when I could. 347-637-3859. Without further ado, I'm going to bring in the crew, my man Wally Wild, my man Emmy Richmond on the Twitter. What's going on, fellas? How was the weekend?
Oh, it was great, man. You know, it was you know, the Washington Redskins pulled off what I consider an upset, beat the Baltimore Ravens on the schedule. That's a game
I
didn't expect to win.
You're a genius, man.
And I didn't call it. You know, I mean, for me to be a diehard Redskin fan, you know, and whatnot, I didn't call it. I tried to be as mature as possible and being what I truly believed in. But yeah, that was one of the, one of the highlights of the weekend. Got to go to the Taste of DC, which is basically a tasting of all types of food in the DC area of restaurants and whatnot. So I enjoyed myself. How about you? How about you all?
Well, I'll tell you this, Mike, you may be able to hear a little bit in my voice. But my weekend was good and it was fun. Had a good time. DJ for a friend who's more like a brother. DJ for his birthday party and stuff. You know, kept things simple. Had a good time on Sunday as well. But we're coming down to the end of Sunday. You know, life wanted to hit me a little bit. So got a little bit of a thing I'm trying to fight here. I ain't calling it what it is because I don't speak what I don't want it to exist. You know what I'm saying? You gotta speak what you want. So I'm fine right now, but I'm good. My Colts got to win, so I'm fine.
I called that one too. I called that one too.
We all called
Yeah, I think we had to all call that when they're playing against Chicago, the lowly Bears. Micah, you teach music, you are a DJ, and you're a cook. You a jack of all trades, ain't you?
Well, you know, I mean, you know, one person likes to say that a jack of all trades is a master of none. I like to take that person out back and woodshed him because I know I racked up at least 10,000 hours on music and food. So I just got to get my 10,000 hours on DJing, and then I'm a master of that too. So that will be three things that I can master. Now if I can go and get my bowling game up, and that stinks, brother. That stinks.
Is that what it takes to be considered a master of some 10,000 hours?
Supposedly it was a study show, and I have to look it up for you and send you the link, that a mastery of any specific area is supposed to be at least 10,000 hours for you to actually master in that specific area.
Wow, that's interesting. That is pretty interesting. I like that. That's good knowledge by you. Of course, if that's something I'm supposed to know, I'm sorry. But hey, Biden takes a lot to impress me. 347-637-3859. Going through some of the weekend's games, some of the games that we all called and you know, maybe or maybe not called. Of course, I think we all called the Colts over the Bears. I think we all called that one, right? We all called the Lions over the. No, I called the Lions over the Eagles. I'm taking credit for that. I called the Lions over the Eagles. We all called the Patriots over the Browns. No, we all didn't call the Titans over the Lions. I know I did.
I know I did.
The Titans over.
I called
the Dolphins. You said Titans over the Dolphins?
The Titans beat the Dolphins 30-17. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I didn't call that. I didn't call that.
You didn't call that one?
No,
I know that was definitely you and me. I know that was definitely you and me because we cited the running game and that we thought that I thought that Marcus Mariota was the better quarterback of the two.
He didn't start that. Marcus Mariota didn't start that game.
They played. He said he called. He said he thought between the two quarterbacks, he was the better one.
Okay. Gotcha. I think Vikings, Texans, I think we all called that one. Jets, Steelers, we probably all called that one. Falcons, Broncos, I think we all might have missed that. Did anybody pick the Falcons?
No, I think we all missed that one. I don't think we called the Falcons.
A little fiber in me that wanted to tell. I remember being a little hesitant on picking the Broncos, but I went with the Broncos on that one.
I know you were talking about Lynch being the quarterback and saying that would be a difficult. I don't know. I think maybe did you pick Atlanta? I remember you talking about Lynch.
I don't think in the end. I don't think in the end I picked Atlanta.
Okay.
I don't think I did. I think what we all thought was that
the difference maker in this game was going to be the Broncos defense, not necessarily passing Lynch being the weak spot. All they had to do was just pretty much run, set up some easy throws for him on some play action, and play the defense like they normally play. But, you know, Falcons came ready. Falcons came prepared, and they put together a really good game plan they only scored 23. It ain't like they scored a whole lot of points before a defense that's been holding people for, like, under 15 points plus a game. That's a lot for them. So they've been holding them under, what, 15 or 13? The average has been, so this has been the most, outside of my Colts, I believe, that scored on them, right? As far as those points
scored. I think you might be right.
I hate the comparison, you know, with that defense compared to, like, the Ravens defense or, you know, the 85 Bears defense or even the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense doesn't get that much respect. That year when they won the Super Bowl. I think this defense isn't a shutdown defense. It's a high-pressure defense. It's a defense that that smacks people around, but it's not a defense that you can that shuts people out like those defenses did, the ones I mentioned in the past.
Right. Absolutely. I agree with you on that one. The shocker of the day to me, the Cowboys and Bengals, I really thought the Bengals were going to take care of business in this game, and they really did nothing. I think we all picked the Bengals in this game. Am I right?
Yeah, I believe. I know I did. I know I did.
Well, Vaughn, we know Vaughn did. You know Vaughn.
Yeah, yeah. Vaughn, he would have been, my couple, yeah, anyway. But you know what?
He probably did, though.
He probably did. But you know what? I have to give credit where credit is due. I did not expect the Cowboys' defense to hold the Bengals to 14 points. That's the first thing I didn't expect because I didn't think the Cowboys had a real defense. I think they had a defense that could create some turnovers, that can kind of keep them in games, but not a defense that can actually hold down an offense like what the Cincinnati Bengals bring to the table. But I noticed something else, too. This offense hasn't been the same since Hugh Jackson left. I mean, their offense was smoking when Hugh Jackson was the offensive coordinator. So it's something – we just noticed how different things, different quarterbacks seem to change depending on who's giving them the scheme and what they have around them. Hugh Jackson – sitting here doing some phenomenal things for some quarterbacks, and when he's the head coach, his quarterback seemed to stick. Same thing with North Turner. North Turner does some tremendous things with quarterbacks when he's an offensive coordinator, but when he becomes the head coach, his quarterback stick. I don't understand this. I don't understand how it works like that. Someone explain to me how Andy Dalton goes from doing all the monster stuff he did last year, and then all of a sudden it's like he doesn't know how to throw a football. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but, I mean,
yeah.
You are playing Cowboys defense. That's
not
deep. That's
deep.
Stronger than yours.
He's not in a bad year, statistically speaking. Oh, I can't speak to that. He's a guy that I know, right? It's a Monday. It's the Mondays. But at the same time, I mean, this team. I'm with you, Mike. I just think offensively, when it comes to game planning or you know play calling, I just think it's not done correctly. Like Hugh Jackson, I don't think it's the skill of Andy Dalton. Because I don't think. When you look at even looking at that Cowboys game, he was in third and long and second and long a lot. And I just think that just watching the game, I didn't like the play calling. I just don't think the offensive coordinator is as good as Hugh Jackson. I think Andy Dalton is who he is. I don't think he's changed. But I think in terms of the philosophy of how they call games, call an offensive, you know, series or, you know, calling plays, I think you can see the difference in that aspect. But definitely Hugh Jackson didn't miss the Cowboys ran the ball and they held the ball. They played, you know, what I call traditional winning football. You got Ezekiel Elliott running the ball, you know, at a high level, getting gashing for big yardage, you know, winning the line of scrimmage battle. So when you see that, you look at it and say, you know what, the Cowboys were the better team. They're the more physical team. I always think that the more physical team typically wins the game.
That's
yeah,
true.
You know what? I'm about sick of talking about this game already. I'm gonna have to say that right now.
Hey, look, we all get sick and tired, but you know we have to recognize the real thing. And if I may hold my hand up as one of the staunchest Cowboy haters on the call, like all of us are, with the exception of one guy, has Ezekiel Elliott been getting better each game this season, or is it just like
I
think he's been getting better.
No, he's getting better. I mean, I'm not a big Ezekiel Elliott fan, but he's getting better. The line is blocked better too. To be honest with you, he looks more explosive.
Right.
The line is looking better. I mean, if you watch the game, let's keep it 100. If you watch the game, you see that they were gashing holes. I mean, it's not like he had to make anybody miss. But with the cool thing, what he did is that he could take it to the second level and you know and take it to the house. And not a lot of running backs can actually do that. You know what I mean? So what he did was, okay, you block well for me, but I'm going to take it the next level and make that 10-yard run into a 60-yard run or a 20, a 30, 40-yard run. So
I think what I think is partly what is, you know, one of the recipes for his success thus far is the fact that in the short time, he's become a lot more patient. If you remember earlier in the season, he would get the ball and just go, and he would miss some of the holes that were opening up from the Cowboys line was opening up a lot of big holes for Ezekiel Elliott, but he would miss the holes because he was, you know, 100 miles an hour. Now I think he's kind of waiting a little bit for the play to develop. He's seeing it develop. He's seeing where the hole is going to be open, and he's just taking it up that hole and just doing what he does. And like you said, once he gets to that second level, he's a whole prop. and he's making that happen. So if anyone has anything else to say about Ezekiel, we take the time now because I'm ready to move on from this doggone Cowboys game. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
I'm not talking about no Cowboys. You already know. Right.
No more.
I said enough.
I'm saying you got to play Cowboys suck and we can keep it going.
Right. Let's move on. The Bills and the Rams. I think I called the Rams in this game.
I called the Bills in this game, I believe.
Oh, I called the Rams. I know I called the Rams.
And I don't
you know.
Remember what pair
the overrated called. The overrated head coach bowl.
bad day for them yesterday. I'm saying 30-19, bad day for them. That last pick that Case Keenum threw, that was ridiculous. I don't know what's going on there. In this game, I know I got this one wrong. The Chargers and the Raiders. Actually, I don't remember what the spread was on this one, but I know I called the Raiders in this one. And while they – oh, no, the Raiders won. Wait a minute. I thought the Chargers won.
Nope, the Chargers found a way to lose the game again.
Wow.
I don't know how they do it, but I was looking at the game. I was like, all right, Chargers look like they're going to win this game. And I changed it. I went to another game to try to, you know, get some more info and some more depth. Next time I came back, I'm like, the Raiders won? Hey, my pick was right.
Wow.
And I was impressed. I was like, man, you guys keep on finding ways to win games, to win tough games, even if they're down. And I don't know about you, but it was one thing that, like it was just like what you were talking about when it comes to Jeff Fisher, Wally. You talked about how Jeff Fisher teams, they can totally stink. But the one thing about these stinky teams, even if they do stay, they're always going to compete, smack you around, do whatever it is that they can to win. They're going to scrap with you. And I've been noticing that since Jack Del Rio has been able to get another head coaching job, that his teams have been doing the same thing. So I always thought Jacksonville was one of those scrappy teams when he was the head coach. And when I saw his defense and Denver, they were scrappy enough to handle some stuff. And here we are, Oakland Raiders, and they're playing rough and rumble tumble type of football. And they're in games, even the game that they lost this season, they were still itch. They were still fighting. They were still competing and scratching and clawing. So I give them a lot of credit, man. They're really – a lot of people were up on them this season anyway, and they are confirming a lot of people's thoughts. A lot of people's thoughts, Wally.
Yeah, I'm still in shock that they won the game. I thought they lost the game. So, yeah, I don't remember what the spread was, but I know I picked the Raiders, and I think we all picked the Raiders in this one. Am I correct?
Well, I know I picked the Raiders.
I know I picked the Raiders. Is Wally still there? I don't know if Wally's still there. Wait a minute. Here he is.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, I'm sorry. I got lost for a hot second. I picked the – you know, I always picked the Raiders. Y'all know that. I like silver and black. Mike refers to silver and black as my third team, and them in Minnesota. So yeah, y'all know I'll pick Raiders every day.
Your third team?
Raiders.
Who's your
Raiders.
Team?
Raiders. Who's my second team? My second team is Minnesota right now because I like that defense.
Oh, right now. It's not always
right now. No, hell no. Can I say that? Can I say it? AC double hockey sticks. No.
No, it's okay. That's fine.
You just said it. Doesn't matter if you can't say it.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, you're right. It's too late. I can go in the past, right? But, yeah, so I like the Raiders. You know, he had Carr, Ball. You got my man Amari Cooper, who was probably one of the better wide receivers in the game. A young wide receiver, definitely. And you got even Crabtree. It's amazing when Crabtree leaves San Francisco and Kaepernick and then how much he looks like a good wide receiver in Oakland with Derek Carr.
Yeah, it's quite the change, man. Crabtree's looking really good. Crabtree was supposed to be one of the biggest stars coming out of college, and it really hasn't been that way. He's been good, but he hasn't been what we thought it would be. Maybe, you know, part of it could have been, well, I wouldn't say it was part of that rookie holdout, but you know, he just hasn't lived up to expectation. But he's been good. Last night's game between the Giants and the Packers, I think we all may have picked the Packers in this game. Odell Beckham finally scores his first touchdown of the season, which was, if you guys saw that play, wow. I mean, looking at the replay, I still couldn't call it. I really couldn't. It looked like he got his toe down.
It was easy.
Say it again.
No, that was an easy call. It was easy because he, Chris Collinsworth, where, and y'all can say what y'all want to about him. If y'all like him, cool. And there's times when I'm listening to him and his commentary.
The Giants of New York took on the Packers of Green Bay. And in the end, the Giants triumphed by kicking an oblong ball made of pigskin to a big H. It was a most ripping victory.
But that's like how he talks with his commentary sometimes. Like, at least John Madden was Captain Obvious, and he sounded good doing it. And Chris Collinsworth said, well, I don't know. The heel comes down out of bounds, first of all, as a guy who played wide receiver. Don't you realize that the only thing that counts is your two toes? And if your toes are in bounds, and then you're in the process of the catch going out of bounds, it doesn't matter. And I was like, why do guys who've been in this longer than me can't figure this out? With the replay right there in front of them. I'm just saying, guys. It was obvious catch.
But see, with me from my perspective, I mean the heel was definitely the toes came down before the heel, absolutely. I just wasn't sure if you know when the toes came. I wasn't sure that he was complete. He was so close to the line, and I mean we're gonna have to say he was in. So he was so close to the line that I don't think there was a blade of grass between his foot and the line. That's how close he was to that line. And yes, his heel came down, but his toes came down first, and really that's all that matters. They're saying his toes came down inside the line. Hey, I mean, I thought we were going to get one of those NBC situations where they zoom in as much as they can, but we didn't even get one of those. They went 360 on us, but couldn't really show us the greatest of angles. I like to see it and say, oh, yep, that was in. Oh, nope, that was out. I mean, I'm not always going to get that. You know, it's 2016. I'm not always going to get what I want. I already know that. but, you know, it was very, very close. And it really didn't matter in the end because in the end they lost the game. But I thought that was very close. Your thoughts, Wiley?
No, I thought it was close, too. I don't know, how can you really tell? But, I mean, again, it was a great catch. The concentration was awesome. I'll give him credit. He even made fun of himself after the game. In the presser, talking about how, you know, he saw him hug the net, you know what I mean, took that, you know, altercation he had against the Kings when they had that loss. So he even showed some humility and had some fun with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to, you know how I do. You know what I mean? He showed some humility in that, you know, even at that time. So, I mean, hopefully the kid gets everything, you know, gets to the act together. That's my most important thing when it comes to Beckham Jr. It's just that, you know, just hope for this kid just to get his act together because he's a little bit immature to me. But at the end of the day, man, he's a phenomenal wide receiver. And he made a play that he typically makes on Sundays.
Well, he makes very, very good and difficult catches. And I'm personally not sold, but I'm almost sold on him as being one of the best in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his fame has rose because of the catch that he made against the Cowboys. What was it, last year, 2 years ago? And since then, I mean, you know, he's been the Eli's number one target in a sense. But I feel like for him to be, I guess there's no dominant receivers in the league right now. I mean, is that safe to say? I don't know. Who's a dominant receiver?
No, they're just dominant receivers. They're definitely some dominant receivers. I don't think he's the best.
Who are,
I agree with you.
Who
I don't
are
think
the
he's
dominant
the best.
Receivers?
Well, it's Julio Jones, A.J. Green, and Antonio Brown. I take those three over anybody. Those are three I would take. I think A.J. Green, in terms of smooth route running, deep playability, and even the Bengals are now using him more when they're putting him in the slot and rotating him every which way on the field. You got, obviously, Antonio Brown is an electric wide receiver, even at that height. And then you got Julio Jones who can get you 300 yards. I think anytime you can get 300 yards as a wide receiver, I don't care what era of football you're playing, you're one of the more dominant.
What did he have yesterday?
I think he had like 50. I mean, they triple teamed him, so I know it's always a double team with him with a secondary that's been known to play man to man. So you already know what kind of respect he gets where he's getting when these cornerbacks, in terms of what's his name? I want to say Chris Harris. Harris and Tlaib are getting help over top with the safeties, and usually those dudes don't get help. They just play man up. So you already know what kind of wide receiver he is. So when I look at somebody like Julio Jones, I think you do have some top-tier wide receivers. I think Odell Beckham Jr. is close. I think he's right there. But I'll take Julio Jones, A.J. Green, and Antonio Brown over him. at this point in time.
And I think it's one of those things where the quarterback was like, I want to know, like, which one of these guys makes the quarterback and which one of the quarterback made the guy. I think some of the names that you just said can – I'm not too sure if they had any old quarterback that they would be as dominant as they are. But
ooh, Julio?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if Julio with his talent was Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger was throwing him the ball, I think 175 to 200 yards is normal for him, because now someone has to pick their poison. Are you going to double Julio? Or are you going to double Antonio? You can't double both of them because that means you got four guys covering two receivers. You know, you only have 11 guys on that side of the ball. What can you actually do? So, one of the things I always like about dominant receiver conversation is, can they make any quarterback look good, or they're kind of stuck because the only quarterback that was ever throwing the ball was a Tom Brady and Peyton Manning type of quarterback, so that's why they always look good. So that was Brian's dominant receiver conversation.
Yeah, I always feel
347-637-3859. This is the Soul and Sports right on Fox Sports 1340 AM. Go ahead, Wavi.
Micah has a valid point, and I'm gonna make this real quick. I just think Julio Jones is the type of dude because of his physical attributes and his speed and what he is. He can make a quarterback look good because you can just throw it up to him. It's not that complicated when you're dealing with somebody like Julio Jones. I think a player like Antonio Brown is a little bit more complicated because you're going to need that precise quarterback because of his height or not. But he gets open. He's an elite wide receiver. But I understand what Mike is talking about, though.
This just then. I don't know if it's just been, but I just saw it for the first time. Is SpongeBob being canceled this week, at the end of the week?
I hope so.
I don't really watch SpongeBob, quite honestly. But, wow. I mean, shoot, it had a long run, man. I stopped watching Nickelodeon once Doug and Rugrats wasn't on no more. So
exactly.
I mean,
My thing is like this, right? SpongeBob SquarePants is a more G-rated version of like what Wally just said, Ren and Stimpy. So you just take Ren and Stimpy, replace it with a sponge and a starfish and a gaggle of characters around them. But the reason why I call the show trash is because Nickelodeon was like, it's the only thing we ever need ever again. And they just totally just said, okay, forget having unique and other kind of cartoons that made you great. The reason why I grew up watching you. Yes, I'm a 30-year-old man saying I used to watch Nickelodeon. I used to enjoy Rugrats and Double Dare, Wild and Crazy Kids, Salute Your Shorts. Now leave me alone. Anyway, that's what I'm saying. So you take that one show, that becomes your whole franchise for your whole channel. I got to say that being your mascot, but have other things. Outside of SpongeBob, I don't know what else Nickelodeon has. I can name you about 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 shows for Cartoon Network that they actually been having good and going on right now. The funny part is, one show that they had a chance to have Nickelodeon that's really popular on kids on Cartoon Network, Adventure Time. They decided to turn it down.
What show was that?
It was a show, Adventure Time, with that dog. With the dog and the dude named
Ben. Adventure Time. Oh.
Nickelodeon had
Adventure
that
Time was created by a bunch of stoners, in my opinion.
Yeah, but still, you had the
when
ability
I watched
to
that
show.
When I watched that show, it had stoner written all over it.
Yeah, it did. Regular show is about the same thing, too. You know, it's pretty much guys who want to be slackers the whole time, and they just get into random shenanigans and go back in and eat their chips, play their video games, and obviously smoke their special herbs.
All right, so we've gone a little too deep into the Nicktoon conversation, so let's bring it on back to the Soul and Sports. I don't know what's going on with Wally here. I don't know what's going on. You all right over there, Wally?
My phone keeps cutting in and out. My mic keeps cutting in and out. I apologize. I'm sorry.
Yeah, phone, mic, same thing. It is what it is. I want to talk about the Redskins. Hail to the Redskins. HTTR hashtag on the other side. Okay. They win yesterday against the Ravens, like I said they would, because I think the Ravens are just not that good of a team. I think personally the Skins are on their way back to what we saw last year. You know, they still have some things they need to address, but I think they're on their way back. They play the Eagles this week or this coming week, and we'll have a lot to see there. Actually, that's a huge game this week, too. But, Wally, I'll start with you. I want to ask you the questions. Are the Redskins back? I know a couple weeks ago, I think it was after week two, you said the season's over. What do you say now? How do you feel about the Skins now?
They're doing better than I expected. I thought they were going to lose this game. This is a game on the schedule. This game and the Giants game, I thought they were going to lose those two games. So I'm going to go backwards and I'm going to say, like, now they've kind of they've provided hope. I won't say they're totally back, but they provided hope because you know if you stared this schedule down and broke it down just because of history and whatnot, you would say, well, the Redskins never played good in New York, and well, they beat the Giants. Then it was okay. They're playing the Ravens in Baltimore. Which is typically a tough physical team, good defense. Well, they just beat the Baltimore Ravens. So those are two losses, and now you've added this victory. So, yeah, I think they have hope now. Now it's about kind of building on this. You know, they need to get improved play from the defensive line. Now, granted, I think the defense has improved little by little, from every week, and they've closed games out. And I know when you look at the stats, you see, Wes, the Baltimore Ravens running back, getting like, I believe, like 11 carries for 90-plus yards. So you say to yourself, wow, they still can't stop the run. They can't. But at the same time, they are making key winning plays to close out games. So this defense has improved. Now it's needed to build on that to be a defense that can stop people on a regular and not give up big gashing runs. Then you have to look at the quarterback play offensively. This team needs more consistency because when they play the better teams in the NFL, they're going to need to know that their quarterback is capable of leading drives and scoring touchdowns and playing consistent. And once that happens, I think this team will definitely be a team to be reckoned with. But at this point in time right now, they provided hope. I won't say they're back all the way, but they provided hope.
Well, you know, you say they're not back, but let's say they beat the Eagles this week and they put them in second place in the NFC East. And that will be right behind the Cowboys. I think is this week the Cowboys, is this their bye week this week? Let me see, I'm trying to look that up right now. Bowen, let us know, is this week the Cowboys? I forgot if it's week six or week seven for the Cowboys. But
they're the Packers next. I believe they're the Packers next. I believe.
They do. The Cowboys do have the Packers of Green Bay next. Then they have Green Bay. Then they got the Eagles. No, because after this Sunday when they play, no, they do. They have the bye after the Packers. Yes, they do. Because then they have the Eagles on October the 30th.
Right. Right.
Yep.
So I mean, this could be a huge game for the Skins. It's actually a huge game for the NFC East. Period. Skins and Eagles.
You know, it's a huge game. I agree. It's a huge game for the Skins. Definitely. Definitely a huge game for the Redskins.
They win this game, you know, they're right back in the thick of things in the NFC East,
mm-hmm.
where 2 weeks ago we just thought, you know, it was a wrap for them. They just can't figure it out. The play of Kirk Cousins, has it improved, or are they winning despite? Now, I didn't think he was playing bad, mm-hmm. per se, this season, but I didn't think he was playing all that great to be, you know, playing for a contract.
Mm-hmm.
Has the play improved of Kirk Cousins? Are you back to being a believer in Kirk Cousins, or is it still, you know, do you still not have your quarterback of the future?
It's too wishy-washy right now. When you look at what you're doing as a quarterback, he's too inconsistent. You think, you know, it's like he's getting better, you know, getting better. Then you have this Ravens game where he didn't look good. And he still makes these critical mistakes. Now let's play if. What if? What if Mosley, when he gets that interception, he doesn't fumble the ball out of bounds? He scores that for a touchdown. That's a critical. That's a big, big blunder on the side of Kirk Cousins. But at the same time, that didn't happen. Mosley made a mistake and fumbled that ball out of bounds. It was a touchback after he got that interception. So he's making bad mistakes in critical situations. He's still doing that. So I think the Redskins. I think Kirk Cousins needs to get to a point where he's playing more consistent. He's finding the open wide receivers and he's taking what the defense gives him, and actually taking advantage of situations where, you know, the Redskins defense puts him into. So I just think that right now Kirk Cousins needs to calm down, relax, don't worry about anything but football. I totally believe that he's playing. The pressure that he's built up is coming from that contract. He wants that long term deal, but right now he's not playing like a guy that's worth $20 million. He's not playing like a guy that is your long-term solution at the quarterback position. He's playing like a guy who's managing the situation and is getting and has been lucky on certain in multiple games. So once he, you know, gets confident and plays football the way he did last year, yeah, he's warranted that contract. But right now, he's not.
347-637-3859. One of the question marks going into the season, while I'm going to defer to you again, one of the question marks coming into the season for the Skins was the end. And on a day like today, I just want to take a step back. I'm going to digress for a moment. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
A day like today when, how do I want to say this? When people have off for a certain reason, in certain, like some schools have off, governments have off,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. I'm referring to that Washington football team as the Skins, plain and simple. All right, I try to do that anyway. But a day like today, where, and let me just say this, like I said, I'm digressing. All right, you know, it is what it is. You don't like it, listen anyway, as Mike would say. On a day like today, where you have the Skins, right? Everybody knows their name, their nickname, whatever the case may be. Here's where I stand on it. I do think the name is a bit degrading. However, knowing some of the history of the team, I know that the name was given to the team as a tribute, if I'm not mistaken, as a tribute to the team's original coach. Am I correct in saying that, Wally?
Yeah, that's where it started from. But again, you know, this thing, you know, people are offended by everything. It's a topic that's kind of, it's a topic to me that's built up on a certain, it's built up in terms of in a political fit, the political realm. It wasn't a topic that has really been a main issue till, you know, politicians want to use it for, you know, for their own gain. That's how, like, or reporters want to use that to build their own name. So I kind of have a whole different look at it. And I remember in 91 when I was, you know, was a kid and knowing that they protest, yeah, like Native Americans protested when the Redskins were in Minnesota for the Super Bowl. And
I remember that.
But it wasn't a big rally, but the Native Americans were around to protest that. But then, you know, when you do your research, when I'm doing my research in the situation, even hearing other Native Americans speak about the issue, it's not as I don't like it like this. I don't like it being compared to the N-word being used, and I think that's what people are trying to make it out to be, and it's totally different. In my opinion.
Okay,
let me ask you this, Robin.
And as I know, you're not a Native American. You're not of Native American descent. You are
mm-hmm.
of Nigerian descent, but you are
mm-hmm.
and you are there with the team as well as Mike is there with the team. The use I've heard it compared to as the use of that term would be comparable to saying. If you wanted to name a team after blacks, and let's say they were called the Big Lips, and you had a picture
yeah.
on the side of the helmet with a black dude with big lips,
mm-hmm.
is it comparable in that realm, or is that an exaggeration?
Well, this is my issue with it. I mean, I'm not going to go against people's feelings. So that if a Native American feels that way, I got to be remorseful. But this is what I will
right,
say.
Right, right.
Anytime you're in a Native American community and your high school is called that, then I have an issue with it. Like, how big is it? That's my question to everybody. Like when their high schools in Native American communities are called that same term, like their team is that's the mascot. Like when that occurs, and how. And this is, and I'm talking about Native American community, and that name is used. Then I'm like,
mm-hmm.
okay, so how offensive is that name to the Native American community? That's my issue with it.
Mm.
Because I know if it's like what you're referring to, if it was a school in, you know, the inner city or whatnot, that name there's no derogatory term that would be used for that school in terms of that. I know that I do know. So I guess that's my issue with the name. Like, if the name is that offensive, then there's no way that name should be used in even a Native American community. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It's like saying, here's how I take that two ways. I take that as I do understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I can also take that as, and maybe I'm wrong, and you can call me on it if I'm wrong and don't mind.
No.
It's almost like saying, no, it's not. It's not like saying, but I'm going to say what my thoughts were anyway. Black folks use the N-word, so why be so offended by it?
Okay. I got you.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely. I get you.
I feel all that, but let's cut it to where it is. I'm not even a Redskins fan. But when I see this as nothing more than virtue signaling by a group of people like Wally said, who just want to make their name on something because they want to champion as if they have a higher moral compass than somebody else. And people who are offended by the name, you have every right to be offended by the name because that's your feelings. Like, ain't no one's going to sit here and deny or diminish your feelings. At the same time, it's actual historical evidence that shows that your feelings are kind of misplaced, just saying, based on how the name was formed, who dubbed in the name, and the fact that history is not on your side because you have a group of people that's using your name and flaunting it out in public. And me, my personal standard when it comes to our special word is that I don't use it. I don't use it because I don't want to reflect a culture that demeans people that look like me. So I don't want to use a word that was used by people who wanted to demean people that look like me. That's my standard. There's other people that use it all the time. They use it out of anger. They use it to describe their children. Whatever, what have you. I'm not doing that. But once again, we're talking about my individual standard. So I'm not going to virtue signal to you and make it seem like I'm holier than you because I choose not to use the word because I find the word racist for me to use it as a black guy to other black people. So that's just, you know what I'm saying? So I can understand people's feelings, but let's not pretend that we don't know our historical facts about the difference between these words. Because if the team was called the Washington Rednecks and then a group of Southern whites started to protest it, would we actually really care about their feelings either?
Good point.
I
want to add to that too. I mean, I won't take away racism from the Washington Redskins. I mean, Washington Redskins have been a racist organization though, in the past. So, I mean, even in the '50s and whatnot, they took forever to get to start incorporating black athletes and whatnot. So, if you even at the beginning, they took forever to get the first black quarterback. So, the Washington Redskins organization has been deemed racist anyway. So, I'm not taking that away from, but the name. I feel like I don't think, and this is my opinion, and anybody can argue with me, I don't say that I'm holier than thou. I just don't think the name itself is a racist name like other folks other folks put it out there. I just think that there are other organizations, even that, this is my thing, there are other organizations, in my opinion, that, that joke around on the whole Native American ideology, or even what Native Americans represent. You have the Florida State Seminoles, you got the Kansas City Chiefs, just with the mascots and how they act, and just saying, okay, all Native Americans act this way, and how these mascots act, or even the Cleveland Indians, that emblem, or even or the past emblem, because I think they changed a little bit, they changed it up a little bit, and even their mascot and whatnot. It was a joke to me, so. I've always looked at, because of where the Washington Redskins stand and how much money they made, that also plays a part too as well, knowing that back then, but when this whole talk came to pass, people got to remember the Washington Redskins in terms of sports franchises were probably one of the top three sports franchises in the United States. That plays a part. And you have politicians who want to play on that as well. So that's how, I have my belief of why this has become a big topic isn't the fact that, okay, some folks are offended. I believe, like Micah said, you want to champion it, and it happens to be the Washington Redskins, an organization that makes so much money.
347-67-3859. We're talking about the Skins, but being that this is a day that the United States chooses to celebrate one Christopher Columbus, we're just talking about the name of the team. We're talking about that for a little bit. Of course, like I said, 347-67-3859. If you want to talk to us, press the 1 button to join into the discussion, and I will bring you right on in. Here's my reaction to what you just said, Wilder. And of course, we will be getting back to sports, but we're here for a couple of hours, so you know we can talk about social issues as well. So there were debates last night, actually a town hall meeting last night. But anyway, here's my thing to what you said, Wally, and what you said first. Let me just say, very eloquently stated and all like that, and I can't disagree with everything you said. But let's take I'm thinking about some of the teams that are out there. Like you said, the Seminoles. William and Mary, they're known as the Tribe. The Cleveland baseball team is known as the Indians. And I'll have to look at more of I don't know whether the Native Americans were I don't know if they referred to themselves as Indians before Columbus came here. Some of the other teams, I'm trying to think. I can't think of another. You got teams that the Warriors. I know in high school, one of my rival high schools, they were known as the Warriors. Their mascot was an Indian. Things like that. Like you said, the Indians changed their logo a little bit with that big smiling Indian face. But here's where I slightly disagree with you. And like I said, I hate to sound like this, but yes, my great grandfather was a Native American. And no, I never met him, but I did meet my great grandmother. She was in my life for quite some time. Her husband was a Native American. Anyway, the term Redskin is, it's just on its face, on the outside looking in, is a term that I see as describing a people. Like a lot of times, they say black, white, red, and yellow.
Yeah.
Okay. The name Seminoles, I think, more so pays homage to the tribe. Where Redskins actually kind of looks directly into a detail of the makeup. Like I don't feel like, if you don't know the history, I don't feel like the term Redskins pays homage. Okay. However, knowing some of the history, knowing that the team was named was given because of the very first coach of the team, he was of Native descent, I believe he was indigenous. That gives them. That is why the team was named that way. And if you don't know the history, I think that at what point does history not matter? I guess is what I'm kind of trying to say. At what point does the history go out the window? Because when you have the history, I remember a few years ago, the Eagles wore jerseys, red and light blue jerseys. Yellow and light blue jerseys. And those were jerseys that they wore. There was uniforms that they wore many, many years ago. That I believe paid homage to some of the settlers that came from Sweden, I think it was. Was it Sweden? One of the European countries. And people don't understand. People didn't understand that history. And I think at this point, that history of the team doesn't matter. So at one, like, I feel like, now let me ask you this, Wally, and you too as well, Mike. I want to keep you in the conversation. Does the Redskins as an organization, does Washington as an organization, do they, being at a game or being, or on TV or anything like that, do they pay any type of homage to Native Americans on a yearly basis or anything like that? Do they explain?
Yeah, they've already explained it. They've done enough in terms of the Native American community. Not enough, I won't say enough, but they've already had this conversation with folks from the Native American community. Mr. Daniels, the owner of Daniels Matter, is, contribute in terms of charity. And that could be any which way. I'm always in a charitable donation. That could be a way to say hush money or whatever. But anyway, he's donated to Native American communities. I mean, this dialogue has happened. You've seen Native American representatives come talk in front of of whoever, media, whatnot, talking about how the Reds could partner up with Native Americans and whatnot. So, and talked about this whole topic. and saying that it was, you know, it's not as offensive or whatever. But you're going to get people like that in any which way when you're trying to prove a point or whatever. So, but yeah, they've had that communication. They've had shown paid homage to Native Americans. They have gone to Native American communities. You have former Washington Redskins tight end Chris Cooley go to Native American communities and talk to some of the I won't say political leaders, but you know, individuals within politics in the Native American community, or even some leaders, that's a better term to use, within these communities and whatnot, and speak to them, and they've been educated enough to say, and they've been educated to know if what that name means or how offensive, or if that name is offensive. I've heard various different opinions from Native Americans about that name. So it goes every which way. That's why, you know, when people say it's like the N-word, it's a little different, because when you use the word the N-word, it's pretty much out there. It's pretty much said that that's a terrible word to use. And I'm not talking about the slang term of it, because we all know people try to use two separate wordings for that N-word, right? We know that within our community.
Right.
But when you hear other people talk about that name, the Washington Redskins, it's different. It's not like the N-word. The N-word has been remixed, if that makes any sense, to a point where people have tried to use it to justify something. So it's a little different. That's why I never compare it to the N-word. I never have, because I think the N-word, if you say that the ER version of it, it's always going to be, oh, that's disrespectful. It's not going to be, oh, that's a good word, we can use that word. No, it's never, even within your own community, it's never been that way. You've remixed it. Yes, we've remixed it. But at the same time, we've never said the ER word is a word that in any community that's been a word that we can say, hey, that's appropriate.
347-637-3859. I tend to agree. And, you know, as Mike has said, he doesn't even use the word. He sees it as derogatory racist term. I do use the word. I use it. I don't use it in front of mixed company.
Agree.
But I do use the word. I've used it for a very long time now. I call myself a student of Richard Pryor, and Richard Pryor used the word quite a bit. Until he stopped using the word.
Yeah, I'm there with you. I've come to that conclusion in the last maybe, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Up until then, you can find me doing a Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy delirious, or all just going in with it as well. And so, you know, it took some things being exposed to me historically and things like that for me to be like, maybe I shouldn't. Yeah. So, you know. And granted, because, you know, that's a habit that doesn't just die. I find myself getting extra mad about something, and the guy just happens to be a guy who looks like me, may go ahead and come out. And it has happened. I'm not necessarily proud of after I made that decision for myself, but it happens, and especially when you're used to growing in that culture. But let me tell you this, Wally and Watts, what trips me out is that these guys are virtue signaling about this name, right? This whole, you know, hey, look at me, I care about something. Ain't say a word about what was going on with the real indigenous peoples up in Dakota. I don't know that one. Oh, yeah, this is a pipeline, oil pipeline. They were protesting, camping out in the area. Media didn't cover not one inch of it. And the people that were virtue signaling on a stupid name for a football team that we already understand why it came about, they didn't say a peep about what was actually going on to the indigenous peoples that's actually harming them and actually causing them strain. Because, you know, you want a virtue signal about something? How about virtue signal that they're losing their homes? That's a whole different for another day. You know, I mean, you know, that's where I come from. I don't mind you championing the cause if you're actually trying to champion it because you think it's actually something serious. But don't sit here and come at me and say that something's racist or something's sexist or something is or phobic if all you're trying to do is just make yourself superior morally, which I can look at you and tell you're not superior to me morally. I can tell by the
way.
Sorry, just saying.
And one thing, while you mentioned the 1991 Super Bowl in Minnesota, Minnesota, for people that don't know, many people do know, Minnesota is highly populated with the with the indigenous people, with people of Native American descent. highly populated in that area, as well as the Northwest, the Dakotas, and all that. So that's probably why you saw a lot more pushback in at that time. I mean, you see pushback all the time, but you probably saw a lot more during that Super Bowl because those people were there and able to protest that. And, you know, it is what it is. But we got to get back into some sports here. This is the Solon Sports. We were talking about the Skins. We were talking about, I think I was, I don't even remember where I was going. I think I was going to the running game. I don't think we ever touched on it. I started going to the running game, but, you know, I get my, I get on my soapbox sometimes, and, you know, it just is what it is. That's where I come from. The running game of the Skins. Matter of fact, you know what, let's do something. Because it was kind of a weird what do you call it, a weird
transition
segue.
Transition segue,
same thing. It's kind of go from a very serious topic going back into a lighter topic of football. It's just kind of, you know, just might be a little weird. So let's take a quick break, guys. You want to do that?
Can we do that? That sounds good to me, bro.
Let's do it.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back right here on the Solon Sports, Fox Sports 1340 AM.
Ha ha ha!
10:40 a.m. This is the Soul in Sports, the best and worst of the weekend, Monday. And I want to jump in back into the Skins real quick. That's funny. I'm going to jump into the Skins real quick, and I just want to talk about the running attack before we move on. I know before the season started, the running attack, the running game was a big question mark. And I wanted to talk to Wally, and I wanted to say, you know, what do you think of the running attack now? How do you feel about the running attack now?
I think it's gotten better. I think the offensive line has been a line that's looks, to me, just from what I've been seeing in games, it's been more they want to be a physical thing. They want to pound the rock. But Matt Jones has been a problem. He's run well, but he's been a problem at the same time. As you see, the fumble issues. He's had close occasions of fumbling in prior games, but this is the first time he's actually lost the ball. And also for a big guy, you know, he was compared to Marshawn Lynch. I'm gonna be real with it. He runs kind of soft for a big dude. So it's like he avoids contact. He avoids hard collisions with even DBs. So he's been a guy that you want to be more physical. They've now tried to include Robert Kelly in the game some more. That's a guy who's an undrafted free agent out of Tulane and had a good preseason. He had a couple good runs against Baltimore. So I see that this team's going to go more to a running back by committee with a Robert Kelly, Matt Jones, and also Chris Thompson, who's more of the speed scat back from the Washington Redskins. So I think the team needs to run more. I think if they run more, I think that will make Kirk Cousins more effective as quarterback for the Washington Redskins. So they have to run the ball more. Once they do that, they'll be a better team. But I do like what I'm seeing though so far in the running game. I like the combination of Robert Kelly, Chris Thompson, and Matt Jones at the running back position. I don't look at Matt Jones as an every down running back at this point in time, but that can change.
Wow. The best friend of the quarterback is the running game. Go ahead, Micah.
No, I was just saying, like, he got on there and just, like, you know. When you call someone's manhood on that one, and I hope he hears it too. Maybe he'll start running because you can't back down from defensive backs. They're smaller than you. What's wrong? Ridiculous. Plus, doesn't Matt Jones, I haven't seen a lot of it, but Wally, doesn't Matt Jones still have a little bit of a fumble fingers? I mean, he's carrying the ball more high and tight, but didn't he almost have a fumble that could have cost y'all the game on Sunday, if I remember correctly?
I mean, he fumbled. He lost the fumble. He lost it. He never had control of the football, and then he tried to hit the hole, and, you know, he lost the ball. That's just who he is. I think with Matt Jones, he's a guy that's going to be loose with the ball all the time. He's not a fluent runner. He has all the tools to be a good running back. I'm not taking that away from him. But you want a guy who's with his stature, his height, his build, to be a guy like that imposes his will. I'll even name a name that I think will probably make a Cowboy fan pretty excited. Marion Barber. Marion Barber was a guy who ran violently, and he's a guy who's a big guy and ran violently, and he imposed his will on people. You don't get that type of running back. Matt Jones ain't that type of running back right now, and he should be that kind of running back. I'm not gonna compare him to Marshawn Lynch because Marshawn Lynch was an elite running back. But you would want Matt Jones to be that caliber of a running back, a guy that, you know what, I'm a big dude. If I see a 6 foot, 200-pound, 6 foot, maybe 150, 190, 180 cornerback trying to tackle me, I'm gonna put him on their butt. I'm not gonna sidestep him. I'm gonna lower my shoulder pads, and I'm gonna deliver the boom. So that's what you want out of your running back like that. But in terms of his fumbling situation, he is who he is. I don't think that's really gonna change. You just would hope that he can limit his fumbles. He's a fumbler to me.
347-637-3859. And as we move forward in the conversation, we got to talk about we're moving on in the NFC East to the Philadelphia Eagles. We're gonna go 95 North a little bit. to the Philadelphia Eagles, and they took on the Detroit Lions yesterday, in a game that I didn't like. I personally didn't like it. I know I said in conversation. I don't know if I said it on the show, because this is not an Eagles show, but I said that I don't like this bye week. I don't like it. I don't like it so early in the season. You know, they're on the roll. They're playing good ball. I think this bye week comes at a bad time. And personally, it came out rusty, and it kind of showed. I mean, I'd rather see a bye week coming like week 7, 8, 10, something like that, where you really can use the rest. All that being said, the Eagles lost to the Detroit Lions by 1 point yesterday. I think it was 24-23, in a game that a lot of people are saying was controlled by the referee, by the referee staff. Now, the referee, the crew that was officiating the game is known to be terrible. Known, okay? They have petitions out to have the crew chief fired. Okay, I can't remember. I'm thinking his name is a Joe. What is the guy's name? Vaughn, if you can look up the referees for the Eagles Cowboys game. The Eagles Lions game yesterday. I can't think of what his name. Can't remember his name right now. But that being said, I don't like to put games on the referee. I just don't. You know, you go out there, you handle your business. Now, some things can't be avoided. There was one play early in the game where I know that Connor Barwin was blatantly being held, and it allowed for the running back. It's Monday, guys. I'm sorry. It allowed for the running back to get to the outside and make a big play on the outside. But he was blatantly being held in front of the referee. Referee doesn't call it. But there was also a play where there was a roughing the passer being called on a play where the quarterback was being sacked. Okay, it was one guy was tackling him. Another guy came in on the tackle. And the quarterback's helmet, Matt Stafford's helmet, came off. They throw a flag and say it was a roughing the passer, unnecessary roughness or something like that. Look, I'm on record as saying, look, the NFL's gotten soft. Okay, Micah, don't play the bite right now, because it's going to take too long to get to the good part. The NFL is soft right now. Okay, and it's becoming softer by the year. Okay, and I'm not just saying that because my team was affected by it yesterday, but if you're going to be soft, be consistently soft. Cam Newton took a beating in week one. No flags were thrown. Okay? Matt Stafford gets tackled, and his helmet comes off. You throw a flag on that. You got to be consistently soft or consistently strong. These are football players. Okay? I understand you want to protect them, but they know what they signed up for. It's a dangerous game. Okay? You don't try to figure out how to keep soldiers from dying because they died in war. They sign up for war. There's hazards to the job. A construction worker, has an accident, falls off from a high plane. It is what it is. Okay, if a plane crashes, this is what they signed up for. You know the dangers of it going in. It's not like you don't know that you could get hurt or even die playing this game. Okay, let's stop being so soft. Okay, you're going to end up not having football players playing football anymore. Anyway, I digress. This game was, I would have to say, interesting, to say the least. It was a tough game. It was a good game. They went back and forth. It was a game that I honestly did not like this game from the beginning, because I just felt like, sometimes you get that feeling. Sometimes you just get that feeling that, your team is not going to fare well in this game. And I just had that feeling. I didn't have that feeling when I called it, I'll be honest with you. I mean, you guys know I don't pick the Eagles, but when I woke up on Sunday, I said, I don't like this. I'm not feeling this game. I'm not feeling it. that being said, were the Eagles, and you guys, from you, you guys are outside looking at it, so I'm going to ask you, the Redskins fan and the Colts fan, were the Eagles put up on the pedestal too early? Or is this just one little kink in the armor?
You know, I don't think it was too early. I mean, they've been playing good football. And the rookie quarterback is still playing good football to Steven in a loss. He played good football. I think, for me, the Eagles should judge this season on the progression of their quarterback in Wentz. And Wentz is playing well, and he continues to get better. In a football season, you're going to lose to teams that maybe you're not supposed to beat. But the grand scheme of things, they're competing in every game. I think I said the same thing about Jeff Fisher, even in losses and wins. Well, in this game, they didn't get blown out by the Detroit Lions. They had an opportunity to win the game. It fell short. It happens. But they competed in every game. They should have won the game. They were behind for most of the game, and they came back. So that shows me, even with adversity, even when they weren't playing their best football, they were able to come back and almost win that game. So I still think the Eagles are still a good team. I don't think they've gotten too much props. I think they are who they are. They're a solid team. Good defense, good quarterback, and coach well. They're a coach well team. So the Eagles, to me, are a team that's getting better, and I think a team that should be good for years to come if they keep this format and blueprint together. So if I'm an Eagles fan, I'm excited about what's going on and what can happen during down the long run.
Yeah, if I'm an Eagles fan, I'm excited too. I'm sorry. If I'm an Eagles fan, I'm excited.
You know, I was just calling on you, like you had your hand up. I was just calling on you.
Yeah, it was like teacher, like the kids, man. But no, seriously, like when I was seeing what was happening to my team, the Colts, without Peyton Manning, without an actual good quarterback at the helm, and Curtis Painter led them to 2 wins, I saw what a bad quarterback play can do to my team. And then I saw the very next year when this Andrew Luck kid came in, and there were some games in which he was expecting to win, and he lost, but there was some good progression. And I think that as an Eagles fan, that's where your mind should be on right now. The pedal's going to be there because we are in an overreaction 24-hour news cycle when it comes to sports, when it comes to politics, when it comes to everything. So we have to overreact. We're part of the group that have to overreact to what Carson Wentz is doing, because it doesn't happen that often where a guy who's a quarterback is a rookie is starting and doing his thing just like Dak. Dak Prescott doing his thing with Dallas. I'm sitting here in my head. I'm fuzzy on when Derek Carr was doing his thing when he first came in with the Oakland Raiders. Cam Newton, when he did his thing with Carolina for a little bit, and Andrew Luck, when he came in, like, it just doesn't happen that often. So because it doesn't happen that often, I understand why they put it on the pedestal. But I believe that he's just going to get better throughout the season. He's going to have even more chances to show that he can be the kind of quarterback that can lead his team to victory in the face of adversity. And if they win the NFC East, I would not be surprised. If they make it competitive, as they have been doing, I wouldn't be surprised. And you know what? If they make the playoffs, that will be the thing that's a pleasant surprise, if they make it to the playoffs and are very competitive in the playoffs, because, you know, that's the part that really is going to start setting him apart, especially as a Division II quarterback. So
347-637-3859. We're talking NFC East football. We've already talked about the Skins. We're talking a little bit about the Eagles right now. From the inside looking out, the Eagles hadn't turned the ball over all season. They turned it over twice yesterday in back-to-back plays, basically. The fumble, which gave the Lions the ball and the opportunity to kick the go-ahead field goal, which they did. And then the very next play when Carson Wentz threw the deep ball and it was intercepted, that's another play where people are saying, you know, the receiver was interfered with, which he was. He got grabbed and all like that. But that's not the ball wasn't put in where it needed to be for the receiver to make the play. You can't. I'm sorry, is that me? Is anyone else hearing that interference?
No, I haven't heard anything. I have to agree with you on that play. I have no idea why you do that bomb on that. You had all that. You had other chances to throw the ball. You just go deep the first play. I was like, what? Okay.
Yeah, I thought that was a bad choice. I thought that was a bad choice. Maybe try to get a little bit of shock value, or not shock value, but a surprise, kind of surprise the defense on that maybe. When I saw the play, I was like, oh, he must have something. And to see that how how close the defender was to the receiver. I was kind of shocked. I mean, with so much time left on the clock, I know they had to get downfield. But with so much time on the clock, all they had to do really was get into field goal range. I think it was just a bad decision. They took their shot. It burned them. You know, it is what it is. I guess it's time to move on. It's probably time to move on from the Eagles, too. And speak to one of the other teams in the NFC East, the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas freaking Cowboys. Vaughn's team. What's up, Vaughn? I know you're listening. I know you can't wait. It'll be a good conversation for you. The Dallas Cowboys go in and pretty much manhandle the Cincinnati Bengals. Actually, we talked about the Cowboys already, right?
We didn't fully dive into the backers of Green Bay and the New York Giants and how that game was and how they all of a sudden wanted to how the Giants decided to go ahead and play like they actually cared in the last quarter, and all of a sudden, you know, today.
Well, you know what happened. You know why that is, right, Micah?
Why?
Because nobody was watching the game until after the town hall went off.
Well, that's
true.
Okay, that's yeah. Well, you know, it's crazy, but I was sitting here like now today. Up until now, they were blaming Odell Beckham for why they could be losing because he was a distraction, things like that. Well, you know, he gets his touchdown, he hugs the net that smacked him in the face the other week, so he made up with the net. So that means that we can all mend our bad relationships and our conversations. So that was good. But now they're blaming Eli. They're blaming Eli and Ben McAdoo because the expectation was that Ben McAdoo was going to showcase. And what we saw coming towards the end of last year was that the Giants were revving it up, and all of a sudden their offense started clicking, and it was this offensive guru, you know, with Ben McAdoo. That's bars right there. And he just – and then all of a sudden the Giants, outside the first couple of games, have just been laying kind of eggs offensively. They've been laying eggs offensively. Defense has been doing okay. It wasn't like Green Bay lit them up, but, you know, it was just enough to cause separation. So if I think about the Giants right now, if I'm concerned, is – the consistency in the New York media for always overreacting and wanting someone to be fired before they even have a chance to have some kind of consistency under the same kind of leadership. I mean, you know, Tom Coughlin, they wanted him fired like 800,000 times, and if they fired him in those times where they won those before they won those Super Bowls, then we wouldn't even be talking about Eli Manning and having the conversation that is he better than his brother Peyton before Peyton got his last Super Bowl last year. So I don't think we should be talking about Ben McAdoo getting fired or Eli Manning being a shell of himself. This is who Eli Manning is. Like, have people forgot that Eli Manning is not a regular season quarterback? He's the guy that you get scared of when he hits the postseason? That's just me. Am I the only one that thinks that way? Chris, Wally, am I the only one that thinks that way about Eli Manning?
Wally, I'll let you go.
Eli Manning is, he's lucky his last name is Manning. That's all I will say in that aspect. He's lucky his last name is Manning. But he is a quarterback that does come in the postseason. This is Eli Manning to me. I don't look at him as a clutch regular season player. That's not what I look at him. But I do think when he gets to the playoffs, he's clutch. Like, some people have that gene where, you know, it's postseason time and they feel like, you know what, dude, I'm so close to tasting the championship. And I feel like you got Eli in that situation. He can come big in that situation. In the regular season, he's very erratic. There's games where he looks good and there are games he looks bad. But he's not super consistent. But in the postseason, he's as good as he gets. I really believe that. He's as good as he gets. But in the regular season, he's just going to float. He's going to be games. There'll be games where he looks like Peyton. There'll be games he looks like Peyton. And then there'll be games where he's not that dude. So I like to look at Eli a different way. But this team, this Giants team, they have a lot they have to do to get to the next level. I think defensively they're fine. They made the right acquisitions during the offseason. I think offensively they need more of a running game. I know the running back was out. I'm forgetting his name. He played for Jacksonville. What's his name? I'm sorry. The big bruiser they have.
The what?
Their running back. What was his? What's their starting running back's name?
Uh,
Jennings. They go Jennings. Yeah, I think they need to get more into like running the football. Once they get that, you know, that type that going on, I believe they're a better team. When they have a running game, they're a better team. When you have to have Eli throw the ball 50, 60 times, it doesn't work out for them.
Yeah, I think you're right. I gotta agree with you there. When you have to win the game on Eli's arm, it doesn't work out well. It doesn't work out well for I was distracted. It doesn't work out well for the Giants. I'm sorry. I just saw this video of this guy that was I kind of think the video was fake, but I just saw this video of this guy that was. He was standing in front of, you know, one of them guards in England and don't move, and he kept messing with him, and then the guard punched him and knocked him out. I don't think it's real, honestly, but I'm sorry. I was distracted by it. That's what happens when you're on the internet. You get distracted by things like that. That being said, when the Giants have to, when they depend on Eli's arm, it doesn't work out well for them. It's when... You know, that running game, like I said earlier, the quarterback's best friend is a good running game. And when the Giants have that running attack, when they had, like you said, they have Jennings now, when they had Bradshaw, you know, guys like that, when they were able to run the ball, even when they had Tiki,
yeah,
they fare very well because, you know, you had to account for the running game. You couldn't just sit back and wait for Eli to make his mistakes that you know he's going to make. You had to watch out for that running attack. The Giants, you know what, this NFC East, which I thought was going to be the worst conference of football, is turning out to this is going to be a very tight conference. I mean, obviously, it's going to come down to the last 4 or 5 weeks. And I'm not going out on a limb by saying that, but it's going to come down the last 4 or 5 weeks. Right now, the Giants are 2-3. Okay, I'm not sure. Somebody tell me who they play next week, if they play next week. But they're 2-3 right now. The Eagles at 3-1. The Skins at 3-2. The Cowboys at 4-1. You know, the Eagles could be 4-2. I mean, or I'm sorry, the Eagles could be 3-2.
Giants play Baltimore next week.
Well, I'm putting my pick out there now. Giants win that game. Okay, so Giants could be 3-3 next week. The Skins could be 4-2 next week. The Eagles could be 3-2 next week. You know, and the Cowboys could be 4-2 next week. So this is going to be it's going to get tight, man. It's going to be interesting. This NFC is going to
it's
be going to
be tight. It's going to be tight between. It's going to be tight between the first three teams that you named. But if Jerry Jones is as dumb as I think he is, and he's going to go ahead and put in a guy who's half a man, literally because of his back injury, over what Dak has been doing, then he's going to prove why the Cowboys have been an irrelevant franchise outside of marketing for the last 16, 17 years, because. You got a hot hand right now in this guy named Dak Prescott. And while I hate giving compliments to the Cowboys, I think it's utterly stupid that you're saying out loud, oh, yeah, Tony Romo's our number one quarterback. Maybe he's saying that for posterity purposes, but when Tony comes back, he's going to be the backup. He shouldn't be. He shouldn't even be on the roster. He should be gone. He should be, like, at home rehabbing his back. You know, so that way maybe you can have a chance at a healthy season. But, you know, that's just me. But if Jerry is meaning what he says, and Tony Romo comes back, half a man, then the Cowboys aren't even going to be in the conversation for winning the NFC. That's just me.
Yeah, Jerry needs to be quiet. Jerry needs to be quiet. He needs to.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. Tony Romo does not need to come back and be the team's quarterback if Dak Prescott continues to win. If he continues to win, what really would be the point? Why put Tony Romo in there? To have a fresh face in there, to have the face of your franchise back. No, I mean it would be a bad move. I think Dak Prescott presents a far bigger threat right now than Tony Romo does. Dak Prescott while he's not a running quarterback per se, plays out of the pocket and get away from defenders. He can move. He's very comparable to Carson Wentz that way. Carson Wentz is not a running quarterback. But he's athletic enough to get out the pocket, make some plays with his feet. okay? Mm-hmm. He's not Michael Vick. He's not Cam Newton. You know, he's not a McNabb, but he can make plays with his feet and get away from defense. Tony Romo can't. He's proven that time and time again. He just proved that to you in the preseason when he broke his back. Spinal. Okay? Come on. And Vaughn, you know, I hope you're chiming in on this, Vaughn. Why, I mean, as a Cowboys fan, Vaughn, and I know the people can't hear Vaughn, but react to this question. As a Cowboys fan, would you want Romo, and I think I pretty much know the answer to this, would you really want Romo coming back if Dak Prescott continues to play the way he's playing? I mean, why? I think you should get a lot of blowback from the Cowboy community.
Cowboys, you know what this reminds me of?
Whatever y'all call yourself.
You know what this reminds me of, though? Drew Bledsoe went down and Tom Brady took over. You know what I mean? And they were a better team. And and Drew Bledsoe had a great career. Actually, I mean, I was a pro Drew Bledsoe dude. But at the same time, the Patriots are playing good football. They were playing winning football. And then Belichick and the whole Patriots regime decided to stay with Tom Brady. That's why you can tell two different organizations. You have one organization that says, you know what, I'm gonna back my coach, and I'm gonna play Tom Brady. Even though I love Drew Bledsoe, I'm gonna play Tom Brady. But on the other side, you got a guy who does love Tony Romo, but can't keep his mouth shut. And it really sounds like if Tony Romo is healthy, he has no problem telling Jason Garrett, hey, I know we're winning, but Tony Romo, that's our guy. Let's play Tony Romo. It's amazing you see the different dichotomy in terms of what, you know, which these two organizations within the New England Patriots and the Dallas Cowboys.
347-637-3859. Yo, in consecutive shows, Wally has used the word trill and dichotomy.
I know, right?
Gotta love it. Vaughn says, Jerry needs to shut up. Dak Prescott is the truth. No, I don't want Romo back. Romo needs to stay on the bench. And on the outside, I'm going to tell you this, Vaughn, everybody hopes Romo comes back and plays.
Everybody hopes for it.
Everybody who's not a Cowboys fan hopes Romo comes back and plays.
Exactly.
Jerry Jones is playing the loyalty game.
Yeah.
When he needs to be playing the business game. They need to say, just the way they, same way they kept him out of the draft room or the draft decision or whatever they did, they need to keep him out of this decision. Let the people on the battlefield make the decision. All right? Let them make the decision. 347-637-3859. This is the Soul and Sports right here on Fox Sports 1340 AM. You want to talk to us, press the number one button. Let's take a real quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about the best and worst of the weekend. How do you like that, guys? Sounds good?
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Sounds great.
I like when you guys agree with me. It just makes it seem like a well-oiled machine around here.
Makes
it swell.
Just swell.
Don't know where
just makes it swell.
Keep it locked, y'all. And so, you know, it's the best and worst of the weekend. It's that time, one of our favorite times of the week, where we go over the best and worst of the of this past weekend. And I'm going to flip a coin between Wally and where's my coin? All right, well, I'm going to flip this wallet. And let's see. Okay, it landed open. That wasn't how that was supposed to go. Let's try it again. Micah, you're going first. Best and worst of the weekend.
Fantastic. Best of the weekend were the World Heavyweight Championship match and the Intercontinental Championship matches on WWE No Mercy. I know we're going to get more into that on Perfect Plex Radio on Wednesday. It was fantastic. I enjoyed every minute of those matches. I especially like the fact that John Cena lost again, and I like the fact that Dolph Ziggler won, and they told a very good story in the ring. So I enjoyed that. The worst of the weekend is Your Name is the Oregon Ducks, and you are supposed to be a perennial powerhouse, and you're supposed to have all this stuff going on. I should never, ever again hear that you lost to Washington, you know, the Pac-12's B student when it came to football. I should never hear you lose to Washington 70-21 ever again. Just go lock yourself in the corner and just realize what you've done to yourself in your life. That's so bad. So bad. Chip Kelly needs to go back there.
He might be on his way. He might be on his way. Wally!
All right, so worst of the weekend. I got another ticket. I'm piling on parking tickets, traffic tickets. Like, you know, I'm being stopped. I'm not going to say I'm not being stopped because I'm black. I'm being stopped just not caring. So I need to stop doing that. Right? That's the worst of the weekend, these tickets. Tickets must end. All right, tickets must end. Best of the weekend, I mentioned before, Redskins, the Washington Redskins being the Baltimore Ravens. I don't get the hypeness of it in terms of, like, this whole fake rivalry, because I don't look at it as a rivalry. I look at it as a game the Redskins won that I didn't think they could win. So that excited me. So, yeah, in that regard, that's the best of the weekend, the Redskins being the Baltimore Ravens.
All right, I guess it's my turn. The best and worst of the weekend for me would be the best of the weekend would be – what was the best of this weekend? I had it all ready to go, and I forgot that fast. It made me laugh about your tickets and stuff like that. The best would be Ramadan. I don't know what the best thing that happened this weekend.
Major League Baseball playoffs?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Baseball playoffs. Baseball playoffs started over the weekend. Started last week. The Blue Jays have moved on, and the Red Sox may not be moving on. They really have to turn things around. The Cubs, I think, are one game away, and can't remember what else is going on.
Nats and Dodgers are playing right now.
The Nets, Gio Gonzalez gave up a home run in the first inning. Ooh-wee. Ooh! That thing was crazy. I'm going to tell you right now. Let me pull up the score on that.
It's 4-3. It's 4-3 right now. Nets are up. We're up 4-3 last time I checked.
Nets were up 4-3 last time you checked. Okay, then we'll go with that. The worst of the weekend, I would have to say, the devastation that Hurricane Matthew has left behind. You know, people I'm hearing ridiculous amounts of numbers of deaths in countries such as Haiti. It, you know, there was like 4 deaths in the United States or something, but there's like hundreds of deaths in Haiti. You know, if you show support for other, if you're one of the people that show support for other countries with your profile picture on Facebook, I hope you do more than just change your profile picture. But if you're one of those people, Then show it for Haiti, because that is you know, that just, you know, that's what you guys do, so go ahead and do it. I think that's it for us. I think we're going to end the show right there. Thank you for listening to the Soul in Sports with the crew. That's what today was. It was the crew. Micah, any last words, Micah?
Yes, my last words is, with no Cam Newton, Tampa Bay is going to win that game tonight. That line stinks. Carolina favorite without Cam Newton. You must be out of your mind. I ain't dumb. I'm taking Tampa Bay in that one. You can lock it up early. Anyway, that's my last words.
Yeah, you got Tampa Bay in this one tonight, Mikey, you said?
Yeah, that was my man, Tampa Bay. I mean, Carolina ain't beating Tampa Bay without Cam.
Wally, last words. And you got the game tonight.
Ducks fly together. I'm still going Carolina.
I'm also going to go with Carolina, even though Cam Newton is not playing tonight. I don't know what the line is, but I'm going with Carolina tonight. You said what's the line, Mike? You said Carolina's still the favorite.
Carolina's the favorite minus 5.5. They were giving us minus 5.5.
5.5. I don't like that.
Exactly.
I don't like that either.
Might have to ride with Mike on this one. Just because I think Carolina wins the game, I don't think they win by 6.
Neither.
I think I'm riding with Mike on that one. All right, y'all. It's that time, man. We appreciate y'all listening to us. Check out Perfect Flex Radio on Wednesday when they discuss Raw tonight and tomorrow's SmackDown and Sunday's No Mercy. So, like I always say, it's not about who you know, it's about who knows you. So get out there, market yourself, and meet somebody. Make somebody's day today or tonight, whatever the case may be. We love y'all for loving us. We out of here. Peace.